Revelation chapter 5, we're not going to be preaching there. John had been caught up to heaven, and he saw the seals, the seven sealed book, and here's what they said: no one is worthy to open the book. The Bible said John wept sore. Then he was told by the elders, "Weep not, John, for the Lamb hath prevailed." They sung a new song about redemption. Amen. And then in verse 12, it said, "Worthy is the Lamb." Amen. The Lamb is a great picture throughout Scripture. Amen. Most theologians believe it was the Lamb that provided the clothes for Adam and Eve. I'm okay with that. Amen. It was a ram, which is a male lamb, in Genesis 22 that was the substitute for Isaac. It was the lamb in Exodus chapter 12 for the house, where the blood was put on the doorpost that the death angel passed over. In John chapter number 1, it was the Lamb of the whole world. Amen. God is so good to us. Amen. We're going to be preaching out of the book of Jonah. Jonah, carried you on a rabbit trail. But he's worthy. Most people are not in church today because God is not worthy for them. He's not worth the effort to come to worship. Amen. Jonah chapter number 1, we'll begin reading in verse 1. "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish," and I want you to notice this phrase, "from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, and so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." That's twice mentioned so far. "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not." I want to preach on this thought. Do you care that others are perishing? Do you care? That's a fair question, isn't it? Do you care? Father, as we come to you, we are grateful for your goodness, for your mercy. And Lord, I'm thankful somebody cared enough about me to tell me. And I pray, God, that you would stir hearts like never before. And I ask, God, for your touch now. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. I get a paper here from a church in Louisiana, and here's what it said. What's the difference? What's the difference between an atheist who would not dream of financially supporting the church and the Christian who just doesn't? What's the difference between a skeptic who doesn't believe the Bible and someone who just doesn't read it? What is the difference between a man of the world who lives for self and the Christian who lives for self instead of for God? What's the difference between a man of the world and a Christian who lives like one? And here's what he said: while these are tough questions for the Christian to face, the truth of the matter is that the Christian can make no difference in the world until he or she becomes different. What is the difference? Most people that will invite a church is because someone invited them. People are not looking for doctrine. Doctrine is divisive. That is a no-no in a society that doesn't believe anything is wrong. Come on now. We have raised a generation that don't know there's two genders. We've raised a generation that if you kill an animal, you go to jail, and if you kill a human, then you've saved a life. Come on now. We live in a generation that's all mixed up. Friendship is the number one reason why people attend church for the first time. There are people that go to church for different reasons. Some do church because they feel they ought to or have to. Church, of course, in reality, is not what we do. Church is who we are. We are the church. We do not do church. When I visit and people tell me I've tried church, I say, that's where you messed up. You should have tried Christ. You try Christ, you'll be okay. Now, Jesus told the church at Ephesus to repent and do the first works. The average church member does not read their Bible. The average church member does not pray unless they want something. The average church member never shares their testimony. You can go to day-to-day activities without care that others will die in their sin. For the average person attending church, the only person that we really care about is those in our immediate circle. We're talking about, do you care that others are perishing? Jonah, of course, here had the word of God come to him and told him, I want you to go to Nineveh. wants you to preach. And I can understand why Jonah didn't want to go. Nineveh was a bloodthirsty people. They were Assyrians. Not only were they Assyrians, but they would rise up, if you read your Bible, and come against the people of God and kill many, many people. I could understand why Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. But God said, I want you to go to Nineveh. And Jonah changed his mind, and here's what he said. He went from the presence of the Lord. If you was to read after some of the old writers, they would talk about living in the presence of the Lord. They would talk about living in the principle that Christ is near and that Christ is there. He goes, he gets on a boat, pays his own way, and then he goes down and goes to sleep. All is well, and I want to say all is comfortable in the life of Jonah. He's asleep. The storm affected everybody but him. Okay? They were worried about the storm. They were concerned about the storm because they knew that they would perish in this storm. I want to give you a few things, and we're going to ask the question, don't you care that we perish? First of all, I want you to understand that Jonah had a clear command to follow. Look what he said. Now in verse 1, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. I want you to go, and I want you to cry against it. That is a clear command. Y'all agree with that? The Bible has gave God's people clear commands. We call them the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Go teach them, observe, teach them to observe all things you've been taught. Go, go, go. That's a clear command. If we're not going, we're not giving. We're not in rebellion against the church. We're in rebellion against God. The Great Commission is given in all four Gospels and the book of Acts. Five times. Jay, you mentioned this in Sunday school. What's the number five? It's the number of grace. You know what the world needs? Grace. Because the world is perishing. We have thousands upon thousands, millions upon millions of people in America that's going to die in their sin. And I want to say the church of our generation is doing nothing to reach them. Come on now, say some amens. We have a clear command, just as Jonah. But Jonah did what Jonah wanted to do, and that's what we're doing. We have time to do anything we want to do. Amen. Now, I'll make some of you mad now. We have money to do what we want to do. Amen. It's almost impossible for a restaurant to go out of business now in America, even if the food's no good. Y'all don't know how many people I've heard complain about McDonald's food. They're still doing good. Amen. If something new comes to town, it's usually a restaurant. I'm sorry. Amen. I had a lady offer me a free meal the other day at a restaurant and I didn't go. Folks were saying we have a clear command. There's not one person in here that can say that doesn't apply to me. America spends more on dog food than they do missions. I work at a co-op. Okay. We sell to deer hunters. That's what keeps us going. I'm going to give you this example because the guy rubbed me wrong, Jeff. He was a politician. That's negative right there to start with. Okay. He was on the Asheville City Council. He was driving an $80,000+ truck, complaining about a $9.50 bag of corn to feed something that's not even his. These deer are eating me alive. I just ain't gonna have no money left. You don't have to feed them. They'll eat on the side of the road. Amen. They'll run into your vehicle to cross the road to get something to eat. And I'm not against feeding deer. But you'll make it without feeding them. I remember a time when nobody fed them. Huh? I'm okay if you're feeding them, but don't complain about them eating you out of house and home, driving an $80,000 vehicle, feeding something you don't have to feed. They'll find some place to eat. Amen. Rub me wrong. At one time, I kept up with how much corn our little store sold to feed deer. We've sold over 7 tractor and trailer loads during hunting season. Amen. I told one of them, I said, deer hunting ought to be easy. They ought to be so fat and lazy you could run them down on foot. Huh? Eating that much corn. Folks, we're talking about we have money to do what we want to do, but the catch is we don't care enough about souls of men to give and to go. I have in my hand the report Brian gives us. Most of you don't even get it. Amen. We give 10% of everything that goes into our tithes and offerings goes to missions. 10% goes to home missions. 10% goes to foreign missions. Am I right? Not counting that, which I don't count, in the month of January, there was $260 given to missions in this church. In February, which is the new one you haven't seen yet, there was $310 given. You know why it's so little? Because we care so little. I hear what people say. It's just so expensive to live. It is if you eat out every day. Amen. I got a guy at work. All he talks about is I don't have no money. And I said, if I eat out for breakfast every day, and I eat out for lunch every day, and I smoked, and I dipped, and I drank, I wouldn't have no money either. Amen. I quit smoking when cigarettes went to $1 a pack. And I said, they ain't a soul alive can afford to smoke. It's just too expensive. Now, I don't know what they cost now, but they're probably higher. Huh? Amen. We went through Sam's Club the other day, and I said, I can't believe people pay that for alcohol at Sam's Club. He had a clear command. Let me tell you why we don't give and why we don't go and why we don't follow the commands. Because our personal comfort is more important than God's commands. At my first church, I said, if most of y'all would quit drinking Coca-Colas and give that money to missions, we could probably triple our missions. Something is killing you. If you just quit it and give that to missions, you'd probably be okay. Amen. Jonah had a clear command. We have a clear command. Matthew 28:18-20. Here they are. Mark 16:15-18. Luke 24:46-48. John 20:19-21. And Acts 1:8. Jonah had a clear command. I want to say as a church, we have a clear command. As individuals, we have a clear command. Jonah was a witness to these things. Jonah was a witness to these things. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. He knew. He's a witness. Now, if you're going to be a witness, that is a contact. In other words, you got to be there. I remember years ago somebody was talking about a guy and said he was on the street and he was brought before a judge because a man was attacked and he bit his ear off. And the attorney for the guy that was being prosecuted asked the guy, "Where were you standing?" And he was three streets over. And he said, "Can I ask you how in a city that you could see three streets over and see my client bite the ear off of this guy?" And the guy said, "Well, I didn't see him bite the ear off. All I saw was him spit it out." That's a witness. We're witnesses. Jonah was a witness. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you're a witness. You should have a testimony. Amen. You ought to know what I'm preaching about, and you ought to know that it's right. When I got saved, I did not go through a soul-winning program. But when I got saved, I began to call everybody I know and let them know I got saved. My preacher didn't tell me to do that. Nowadays, a preacher can tell people you ought to witness, and people say, I don't care what the preacher says, I ain't going to do that. Nobody told me. There was something on the inside of me that created a desire for me to tell people what had happened to me. I was a witness. You know, that's one of the first signs that you was genuinely born again, is you want to tell somebody. That's the first sign. Amen. Not only do we want to tell about this thing of witness, but you want to spend time with them. You know, we used to sing the old song, He paid a debt he didn't owe. I owed a debt I didn't pay. I never have ever felt like I've ever done enough to warrant what he did for me. I've never been satisfied with what I've done. Never. I don't think I've ever come close for what he's done for me. Folks, he took my place. He took my place on Calvary. He died for me. He paid my debt, my sin debt. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He paid that debt for me. And when someone delivers in that way, I don't see how we can get over it. We're talking about being a witness. We hear people say all the time, well, you know, I'm just following the Lord. I'm following the Lord. He's in control of my life. In Matthew 4:19, Jesus says unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. I'm going to say this. We're not following Christ if we don't care about souls of men. Jonah was asleep in the belly of that ship, not from following God, but fleeing from the presence of God. You follow Jesus, you'll care about people. You say, well, some people it's hard to care about. I want to say every person's hard to care about. Amen. They ain't much to us, are they? If the truth was known, most of us don't even like ourselves. Folks, we're talking about being a witness. You have to be a witness before you can witness. Jonah was a witness. But Jonah found more comfort in that ship, asleep. He cared more for Jonah than he did for the souls of men. Our lives speak louder than our lips. Amen. I heard a preacher say this one time. He said, our church, we're so carnal, we have to start. Said, when we come in, we said, I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you? Said, we just had to do a chant, get people ready for church service. How many times you ever been to church just thinking about something else other than Him? Come on now. God speaks through His Word. He speaks through His Spirit. He'll speak through the man of God. And if He has to, He'll speak through the circumstances of life. That storm came for Jonah to testify to these men about his God. Come on now. Our nation is in great conflict. Great conflict. We're raising a generation of dope heads and drunks. We've got a generation that will not work. We've got a generation that is spoiled rotten. Come on now, let's get some amens. Spoiled rotten. Amen. We're seeing a generation now, 30-year-old boys and girls with kids, that's kids herself. Hadn't grown up. Come on now. Amen. I think the latest maturity rate we had somewhere around 40, 45 now. Amen. I've told Jason over and over again, boy, by the time you growed up. Huh? By the time you grow up. Amen. An Amish boy can run the house when they're 12. We got 30-year-olds that can't run a house. We got 30-year-olds that want mom and daddy pay for everything. Come on now. Amen. We got 30-year-olds don't even know how to do anything. Huh? Brother David said he's had students didn't know what a Phillips screwdriver was. While we was tearing up stuff when we was 9, 10-year-old, we'd take it apart. Got whoopings for it, but we took it apart. Amen. We couldn't put it back together, but we could take it apart. Amen. This guy asked me when I was working on small engines, he said, can you get that apart? I said, I can get it apart. That ain't no problem. The problem's putting it back together where it operates. That's the trick. Getting it apart is easy. Amen. I remember one day when Jason was a little bitty tight. He probably about that age right there. And we was going home one night, Jeff, on Sunday night. And, you know, years ago they had them phone chargers that wasn't like they are now where you plug them into the plug. But they were made in one piece. Y'all remember them? I didn't have an inside light in my little Ranger. And Jason rode home with me. And the next morning when we got there, 12 miles, 12.9 miles to my house, he had took every part of that little charger apart in the dark without breaking it. And I never heard one piece of plastic move. And I thought, how in the world did he do that in the dark in so short of a time frame? Now, I had to throw it away because I wasn't smart enough to put it back together. What I'm trying to say is we've raised a generation that don't know how to do anything. Amen. We live in a generation that wants to pay somebody to do everything. Amen. Well, if you got a plumbing problem, hire a plumber. Now, you better make good money when you do. Hey, you need something wired? Hire your electrician. Amen. We got a guy that comes through co-op that builds porches, $50 a square foot. Huh? He's probably not going to be doing mine. He said, I'll help you. I said, I can't afford you. $50 a square foot. I remember when you could build a house for $20. Finished. I don't think you can now. We've raised a generation that wants to hire everything done. Now we're in our churches. Huh? How many preachers would preach without a salary? Amen. We hire, we don't do it here now. Brian cuts our grass. The average church hires somebody to do it. Come on now. They're not cheap either. The average church pays somebody to clean. We're not average. Huh? Amen. Here's what I was taught growing up. Nobody's going to care for your stuff as much as you do. Nobody's going to care what it looks like as much as you care what it looks like. Ladies, your cleaning is probably going to be different than somebody you pay to clean. Huh? Amen. We've raised a generation. How we do that? We've not taught our kids anything. God speaks through His Word. And I'm going to tell you, time with the Lord produces a burning desire in our hearts. I was reading that this morning in Luke 24 in my daily Bible reading about the two on the Emmaus Road. And Jesus appeared with two disgruntled people that were sad over the conditions of the times. And when they got through, here's what they said, did not our hearts burn within us as He opened up the Scriptures? I want to say we have time for everything but Him. Amen. Jonah's will was not in line with God's will. Jonah wanted to go to Tarshish instead. I wonder if Tarshish was much better than Nineveh. Amen. Here's what I want to state. Our will, almost every time, will take precedence over God's will. We live in a day of the greatest time wasters that has ever existed. Here's what we don't have no time. We have electric washing machines. put it in, it goes. I've had people say, well, I can't go, I got to wash clothes. Put them in, it'll be okay. You're not going to do anything anyhow. If the washing machine don't finish the job, you'll probably go buy a new washing machine. Amen. Most of us don't use the rub board at the creek. We have automatic dishwashers almost in every home. Now, ours is tore up. We still have one. Amen. It has become a storage place because we have too much stuff. Come on now. Our closets are filled. Our shops you can't get into. Too much stuff. And all we want is more stuff. Time wasters. How many people do you see? They can't even drive to the grocery store without that. Am I right or wrong? Amen. Most of it is a waste of time. Most of it is a waste of time. Great time wasters. Amen. We have time to do what we want to do. Amen. We got more daylight hours now, Jeff. I'm probably, by accident, gonna find me a place I can go fishing. No, I'm gonna plan to go. Takes preparation. Amen. If you look in my truck, my rods and reels are not in there. It won't be on accident. I'm gonna have to plan to go. Amen. Now, I do not hunt, but I do pretty good deer killing. Amen. Kobe had a 227-pound buck gave to me this year. Pretty good. Went yesterday, and the guy's going to give me a doe. He's been aging it. Said I'd take it. Pretty good. Hadn't cost me a shell or a hunting license. I'm okay with that. Amen. Most people buy rifles. I bought a grinder. Hamburger's better after you grind it. Amen. I'm okay with that. As long as my wife don't kill one with a vehicle, I'm good. Okay. By the way, I'm not against hunting. I'm not. I used to hunt. Wasn't good at it. That's one of the reasons I quit. But back then, you didn't wait till their horns got hooked in a feeder to shoot them. It was against the law back when I hunted. You actually had to hunt. Come on now. Somebody said, boys, a lot of deer hunters come through co-op. I said, there ain't no deer hunters in co-op. They're deer shooters. Amen. If you're waiting to pour out corn, shooting them on a corn pile, that's not hunting. You're not tracking. You're not freezing to death. They're in a shooting house with heaters and snacks and lazy boys. That's not hunting. Amen. You shoot them, they're taking them to the processor with the guts in them. They ain't doing nothing but squeezing a trigger. Come on now. Y'all help me. I'm right. We're saying that our will usually always trumps God's will. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Arise, get up, Jonah. Go to Nineveh. Their sin has come before me. I know that America is happy where America's at. How many of us believe God is really happy with our nation? How much crying out are we doing about it? Let me ask you the question, do you really care? These little boys are going to spend eternity somewhere. Y'all know that, don't you? Unless somebody reaches them, they will die in their sin. You go to a ball field, they're all packed. Our churches are empty. Every one of those kids is going to spend eternity somewhere. I want to tell you, we don't care. We're not losing sleep over lost people. We're not weeping over lost people. We will never, and y'all listen, I'm not trying to be mean, we will never care about foreign missions if we don't care about home missions. There's not one person Christ did not die for. Now let me ask you, do you care? Do you really care? We heard a testimony at the beginning of Sunday school about a child receiving Christ. That is tremendous. But how foreign is that for us to hear in this generation? O sleeper, arise, call upon your God. Maybe God will have mercy. We're perishing. Do you care? I'm going to close with this thought. As a preacher, pastor, I've done a lot of funerals. Here's what I hear church people say at a funeral. I wonder if they were saved. How many of y'all's heard that? I wonder if they're saved. Now, it's getting where it's not as much because nobody believes in hell no more. Everybody's in a better place. Amen. That's what I hear. They're in a better place. Well, they're not hurting now. Well, do you know that? But how many of y'all understand that at a funeral service it's too late? We ought to be asking that question before they die. Do you care? Every person in this room has somebody in your family that you ought to be praying for. You ought to care. Because every person's going to spend eternity somewhere. Do you care? What we care about is where we invest. The Bible said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is. Jonah. I have written in my Bible below this passage of Scripture, and I'm not going to quote it word for word what I have written. You're more than welcome to go look at it. The church has still not answered the cry of the world. Oh, do you care that we perish? The church hadn't still heard the cry. Let me ask you, how long has it been since you wept over somebody? I'm not going to ask you how long has it been since you've been frustrated with somebody. How long has it been since you wept? When's the last time that somebody was so heavy on your heart you couldn't even care about eating? John Knox, the great missionary, I want to say Scotland, I may be wrong, but he cried out, God, give me Scotland or I'll die. The queen of the land said, I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the armies of the world. Give me Scotland or I die. Jason mentioned David Livingston. The natives in Africa took his heart out and buried it in the country where he gave it all. Here's what they said. His heart wouldn't have stayed nowhere else but in Africa. How long has it been since you've been so bothered that nothing else really mattered? Don't you care? Don't you care? There may be somebody this week that you're going to get a call. And they say they passed. Maybe somebody that you should have witnessed to. And it's going to be too late. Some of you have grandkids. They're going to spend eternity somewhere. You may be the only one. Can reach them. God help us to care about what's important. Help us to care. Father, I preach what you laid on my heart. I can do no more. I asked God that you would stir our hearts one more time. Give us a burden for people. A burden like you had. A burden like your men had in scriptures. Where Moses said, God, if you won't forgive them, then blot my name out. The Apostle Paul said, I'll die and go to hell if you'll save my people. Give us that kind of a burden. Don't let us leave like we came. Help us to see life in light of eternity. I pray, God, your will be done now. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.